Thank you, Brother Bob. Praise the Lord. I'm excited about Jesus. Yeah. Yeah. Boy, that's better. Let's do it once more. I'm excited about Jesus.
Yeah.
Now say it.
I'm excited about Jesus.
There. It's better said than... Praise the Lord. Somebody's saying that guy bugs me. That's all right. I'm a troublemaker for Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you again for this new day, Lord. We thank you for we're one day closer to your soon return. And Lord, let that anticipation continue to be with us. Let that expectation be in each one of our hearts and lives, Father, to help us to live a better life for you. And Lord, we ask that your presence here this morning just permeate through every person. Let your anointing be upon every person, upon this service, upon me as I preach the word of God, Lord. Let it speak into our hearts, Father. Let us walk out with the Holy Spirit speaking to us, Father, throughout the week until we come back together, should Jesus tarry. And Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to work on our lives, to disciple our lives, to help us to become more like Jesus in how we live. And we give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So last week I spoke on pornography. And this week I'm going to speak on the truth about lying. I didn't expect claps or anything, but I will get around to messages where I'll speak on your success and financial blessings and all the good things in the world that God can give you. I will get to those eventually. But actually, I'm already there. Because when we speak on the very things that will destroy our lives and God warns us about them and we get our lives in order, we actually are blessed to be aware of that. Because there's many people sitting in churches today around the world that are not being told the truth of the Word of God, but their best day is yet. Huh? And I was reading that same report that Bob Arth was reading, and millennials today, I think it said like only 58% of millennials believe in God. That's sad. And even in spite of some of the big megas you see out there, a lot of people are leaving churches. Satan is doing a work upon this planet. And sad to say, we are the millennials already are greater in population than the baby boomers. And if that next generation has less desire for the things of God, can you imagine what our world is going to be should Jesus tarry? How easy the Antichrist will be able to step into a generation of people who have no background of being in church and hearing the Word of God and be encouraged in their faith? Can you imagine how easy it will be for him to step in and deceive, which is happening right now, even within the churches? We're seeing the greatest falling away in our lifetime, even as people sit in churches. They're falling away from the God himself. We're in serious times, aren't we? So the truth about lying, I want to see hands. How many in here have never told a lie? Thank you, Lord. I don't have to embarrass them. Because if you said you didn't, you're a liar. The truth about lying. These are things that are very prevalent in our society today. It's so easy today to tell a lie. I'm in during the week when I'm in my other work that I do, I meet even professional business people that lie to me and I know it. Point blank lie right to my face, and I know they're lying. And it does nothing to them. They'll tell me one thing, and it's not even true. It's unbelievable. But even in the church, as I go through this message day, you'll find out that each one of us are probably lying even in church. And maybe don't realize it, but we are. And that's something we always want the Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts about in order to, so we become more like Jesus, right? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 10 and 12. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, and they should believe a lie. And for this cause, God shall send them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie. He did that back in the book of Chronicles, too, if you remember the story. That they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now, those people had a choice. And somebody would say, God, what kind of a God is it? It's a God who loves us so much that he sent his son to die on a cross and paid a penalty for our sins. Yeah. And he warns and he warns and he warns and he warns and he loves and he loves and he loves and he loves so much. But these people here, they didn't want to believe the truth. They chose not to do it. See the lie. Those who have refused the truth will be given a strong delusion by God himself when the man of sin is revealed, the Antichrist. That's happening right now, people. Hearts are being prepared for that event. I'm not looking for the Antichrist. I'm looking for Jesus to come back. See, they will believe his lie, receive him as the God of this age, then perish with him. And that's their choice. That'll be their choice. God will not make them serve him or make them believe. He gave them the truth. They refused the truth and chose the Antichrist instead. Their choice. Romans chapter 1, verse 25. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. I saw a thing on the internet a few weeks ago. A school let the, I can't remember which country it was in, but they let the school out. And the young people, they took them out into the trees, into the woods, and they all got in a circle and they asked the trees to forgive them and the plants. This is actually happening. I just read it to you. They serve the creature more than the Creator. And they're apologizing because of us hurting the climate and hurting nature. They had the students go out there and ask the trees for forgiveness. Oh, Mr. Oak. There's only one tree that was turned into a cross that we need to go for forgiveness, and that's the cross where Jesus died. And we need to remember that. Colossians 3:9 says, lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. We're not to lie to one another either. We're not to lie to each other. We're to put it off. We're to put off. If you were a liar, habitual liar, or habitual whatever, you're to put it off. God gives you that willpower with the help of the Holy Spirit. And actually, we need that many times too. But we put it off. I choose to put off the old man. I choose not to do the things I used to before God saved me. How many have ever heard of the Jim Carrey movie, Liar, Liar? I'll just put a little taste of it here if you haven't. Jim Carrey's plays Fletcher Reed, a career-focused lawyer and divorced father. Fletcher loves to spend time with his son Max, but he has a habit of giving precedence to his job, breaking promises to Max and his ex-wife Audrey, and then lying about the reasons. Fletcher's compulsive lying has also built him a reputation as one of the best defense lawyers in the state of California, as he is climbing the ladder in the firm for which he works. Ultimately, Fletcher misses his son's fifth birthday party. Max makes a birthday wish that his father would be unable to tell a lie for an entire day, a wish that immediately becomes true. Fletcher soon discovers through a series of embarrassing incidents that he is unable to lie, mislead, or even withhold the true answer. Although the movie is comedy, the issue of lying is anything but funny. It's anything but funny. Mac's birthday wish was for his father to stop lying. That's what his wish for his father was. Now, we have a heavenly father that has that same desire for you and I. And he knows it will destroy us. It's not a funny thing to God. And it shouldn't be a funny thing to us either. Lying is a damnable sin that will send souls into an eternal hell. And God desires that we avoid it at all possibility. See, he understands how serious an issue lying is and how important it is for born-again followers, for born-again followers to overcome it. Romans 3:4 says, God forbid, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written. Let God be true. I like it how people accuse God of lying. God can't lie. It's impossible for him. He can't do it. He's holy, righteous, pure. He can't even lie. He can't. There's three scripture verses in the Bible that backs that up as a doctrine. There you go. It's impossible for our God to lie. No matter what the enemy will try to put in our heads. See, many times when you and I walk through tragedy or things in our lives, the enemy comes along and says, if God would have. God said he would, but he didn't. No, God has kept his word, every bit of it. We're in a sinful world. It's the enemy that lies to us and trying to bring God down to our level. And the devil is the liar, not God. Romans 3:4 says, again, God forbid, yea, let God be true. God's true in everything. Yes. But every, how many? Every man is a liar. Why do we lie? Why do we lie? It's really natural, isn't it? The Liar Liar movie received great reviews on that. People loved it. I'm sure one of the reasons for that is because on some level we can all relate to that because we all lie. And we understood it when he was lying, when he stood up and would say things, and we would laugh at that movie because he was lying and it wasn't the truth. And we can relate to being a liar as well as being lied to, right? Have you ever been lied to? I have many, many times. For some people, they view lying as a survival instinct. A poll of 25,000 high schoolers found that nearly half agreed with the statement, a person has to lie or cheat sometimes in order to succeed. That's the world we live in. It's just part of life. You know why? Because you and I were born into sin. We were born into sin. It's natural. Our old nature is directed by Satan, and Satan is the father of lies. Lying is part of our old nature, is what it is. And we even try to justify that so-called white lie. Ever hear of somebody say, I just told a white lie? Just a white lie. I just told a white lie. Which some people just think it's trivial and mundane, doesn't mean anything. It's a white lie. You're telling a white lie to a person, little illustration here, a valued member of your team, when you say, your fruitcake was delicious, even though you threw it in the trash after one disgusting bite. Why tell a harmless lie when telling the truth would hurt my colleague's feeling? What's it hurt to tell a lie if it's going to hurt somebody? We try to reason that, don't we, in our head? Haven't we tried? You know, it's hard doing this message today. I asked the Lord to forgive me a lot as thoughts were popping through my head when I was preparing it. Now, consider the situation when you told the person concerning that awful fruitcake. You could say something like, it was really nice of you to give me a homemade fruitcake. Or, thank you for thinking of me. Isn't that much better? than telling a lie? Because you were letting that person that was really nice of them to remember you and to give you something. That's nice to say that to them. You don't have to lie to them about how awful that fruitcake was. But that's what we need to do. We need to refrain from being brutally frank, though. We just need to remember to tell the truth. Eddie Turner added, a person by the name of Eddie Turner, he said, a lie is a lie. People that think telling a lie is little, or it has color like a white lie, or is harmless. I believe that if I get comfortable telling small untruths, I will eventually tell larger untruths. Integrity and ethical behavior requires telling the truth all the time, doesn't it? I agree. It's not good. Listen to this. There is some scientific evidence supporting his concern. A study in Nature and Neuroscience suggests that telling trivial lies desensitizes the part of the brain that promotes the feeling of unease when we lie. There's a part of our brain that will change and will finally not even register that it's a sin or it's a lie because we've done it so much that we just tell lies and we tell exaggerations all the time and we don't think we are because it's part of who we are now. It's because our brain's been affected by it. That's why we need the blood of Jesus. John 8:44 says, ye are of your father the devil. Now this is what a lot of people don't like, whether in the church or out of the church. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Every time we tell a lie, we represent Satan himself, the father of lies. I just read it to you. I didn't put that in there. God did. When we are lying, we are representing the evil one. And it's natural for Satan to lie. He lied to our first parents, didn't he? Adam and Eve, he lied to them. Genesis 3:4-5, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. You won't die. He lied to them. So we lie to protect ourselves. We lie to avoid getting in trouble, don't we? You got younger people. We got a few younger people in here today, too. I want you to keep your spiritual ears open. It's vitally important. We tell someone what they want to hear so we don't have to upset them. We don't want to hurt their feelings. Really, it's that we don't want to be uncomfortable knowing we've hurt their feelings is what it really is. So we lie to avoid confrontation. We lie to get ourselves off the hook, don't we? We conclude it's just easier on ourselves if we lie about it. It's so much easier if we just lie about it than to tell the truth. We tell lies to protect ourselves, and then we tell lies for selfish gain. When there's something to be gained, we will be apt to lie, and we make the compromise because of our mere materialistic desires. However, we are not gaining it all. Instead, we're losing when we lie to gain for selfish desires. Proverbs 21:6, the getting of treasure by a lying tongue is a vanity tossed to and fro of them that seek death. You still with me, people? No matter how much money I'm making due to dishonesty and deceit, it will last only for a moment. It only lasts for a moment. People will lie for the smallest little bit of change. They'll lie about it. And in the wake of that dishonesty is mounds of trouble. May not be immediately, but it will follow you into your life and it will catch up. I think of people who cheat the system, people who lie on their taxes or work under the table. People who are fraudulent or embezzle and covered up. How many times do we read in the newspaper, here on the radio, people in banks, right, Wendy, in banks, embezzlers in banks, and they get, eventually they get caught. They may do it for a year or two, but all of a sudden down the road, they get caught because they've been lying and embezzling from the investors. And then they get caught and they have to pay it back along with fines and jail time. In the end, telling lies profits nothing. We never gain by telling a lie. Proverbs 19:22 says, "The desire of a man is his kindness, and a poor man is better than a liar." Amen. You know, is what it's saying. So a little kindness received from a poor man is better than the false promises of a rich liar. That's true. How do we lie? There are different ways to lie than just the one out lying. First, there's the lie of deception. Psalms 5:9. "For there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is very wickedness. Their throat is an open sepulcher. They flatter with their tongue." That isn't very pretty if we're a liar, is it? That doesn't speak very well of us if we habitually lie. That's what the Psalms is talking about, right? That's the type of person that continues to lie and think they're getting away with it. We deceive, lie when we are misleading someone. Listen to this illustration. This is a good one. Easy to understand. Joe the butcher had crafty ways of selling his chickens. Once he had only one chicken left in his shop, and he didn't want to keep it over the weekend. The pastor of his church came into the store. He said, "My wife sent me to buy a good-sized chicken to roast for dinner. We're having my boys come back home from college." Joe said, "I have just what you need." He went to the freezer and brought out the last chicken and put it on the scale. He said, "This one is 2 pounds, 3 ounces. The pastor said, "That's sort of small. Do you have anything else?" Joe took the chicken back into the freezer and came back with the same chicken. It was the only one he had. He put it on the scale this time and said, "This one is 3 pounds and 5 ounces. But since you're a man of God, I'm going to let you have it for the same price." The pastor said, "Well, thank you. But come to think of it, the way my boys eat, just go ahead and give me both of the chickens." See, Joe had been caught, hadn't he? Deception, lying, and lying gets us nowhere. We may think it does at the moment that we're doing it, but it will find you out. The Bible says, "Be sure that your sin shall find you out." Dishonesty, when we want to be dishonest, we want to lie. We're dishonest when we purposely leave out information. Selling a used car, has no rust, low miles, spotless interior, but we forget to tell somebody, not forget, we just don't tell them that we know that there's a serious leak underneath. We forget to tell them. This may be true, but you purposely left out the fact that it has an oil leak. We purposely leave it out, knowing it's there, but we're building that car up. Boy, I've been in the auto sales business for 18 years too, and I saw that all the time with people. Telling half-truths. The parents, here's an illustration. The parent asks his teen daughter, "Where are you going?" "Over to Sarah's." While this is true, the teen doesn't say they're going from Sarah's to Steve's party. And sometimes we're dishonest by stretching the truth or exaggerating. We're stretching the truth when we exaggerate. We're lying when we're doing it. And some of your statement is truth, but it's mixed in with lies. We're told in a courtroom to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And dishonesty is lying. If we're lying about a little bit of it and there's truth mixed in it, that doesn't make it right. It's a lie. And think of this one, flattery. This is a really good one. We think we're doing someone a favor by telling them they look good when they don't, or that they're doing a great job when they haven't. That's flattery. That's lying. You know how ladies are. Sometimes they'll say to the husband, "Do you think I look okay? Does this look good on me?" I learned. Ninja, if you and I say to her, well, honey, you look great in that dress, or no, that was great. No, that looks really nice. You're just saying that because you don't want to hurt my feelings. My response would be, why would I want you to go on out looking like an idiot? Now, if I didn't like it, I would simply say, no, that's really not your color or not what you should be wearing. Prefer something else. But my statement is, why would I want to say something that would make my wife look like a fool or my daughter out into the world? If you ask me something, shouldn't it be better just to be honest and tell them, no, it's really not for you? Isn't that easy? Instead of your loved one going out in the world and being teased to death. See, not that we should be condescending or tactless, but giving flattery, isn't a good thing to do, people. We usually only give it when we're trying to get something from someone anyway, is why we flatter people, even within the church sometimes. Proverbs 26:28, a lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by. Did you hear that? When I purposely lie to somebody, it's telling me that I hate that person. For there is a lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it. And a flattering mouth worketh ruin. When I flattereth someone to get something, to impress somebody, it's for their ruin. It's hurting them. And we need to be careful of that. Edmund Burke, a man, said, flattery corrupts both the receiver and the giver. Giving flattery is telling lies. That's something I got to work on sometimes, don't we? It's easy to do. Lying is so easy to do sometimes, isn't it? And it has a snowball effect, is what happens. What is the damage caused by lying? When you tell one lie, oftentimes you have to end up telling more lies to try to keep your previous lies from being exposed. This is all you need to do is turn on TV and listen to the politicians. They're nothing but, not everyone, but most of them are nothing but corrupt liars. And that's by out of their own mouths. And they will tell another one upon another one upon another one to gain whatever they're after. And on it goes until they're all frazzled because they can't keep their lies straight. And that's why they get caught all the time. That's why you and I get caught. I remember as a child, a young boy getting caught from dad and mom when my brothers and I would lie, thinking we're getting away with it. And we'd trip over something because we said one thing. And, of course, parents being smarter than the stupid little mush minds would catch our lie and know it. And we got wailed for it. I mean, dad spanked us literally for lying with a strap, his military strap from World War II, a black one that he hung in the house. And when we lied, we got spanked. And so we never practiced lying around dad. Mom, you know, she couldn't hit as hard. But we knew we were wrong because they taught us what the word said too. Have you ever known someone who has lied about things for no good reason? They lie for no good reason. They'll lie. They'll tell an exaggeration. They went out of their way to tell you a lie when there was no reason to do it whatsoever, but they did it. And this is probably someone who has become a habitual liar. That's what happens when we do it for no reason at all. It's usually because you become an habitual liar. You'll just lie because that's what you do. And you don't even know it sometimes. It becomes so normal for them to lie that it's part of their natural speech. It's what they do. It's almost like they can't stop themselves. They can even get to the point to where they believe their own lies. And the result from this snowball effect is that when you are known a liar, you create for yourself a reputation of distrust. I know people like that. When they talk to me, I thought, you're lying. One of the problems with this is that when you are telling the truth, people won't believe you because of all the times you've been caught in a lie. Isn't that what happens when you know about the boy who cried wolf? That's what happens when we tell lies to people over and over and over again. They no longer trust. And when you do want to tell the truth, they look and say, ha ha, yeah. It adds problems. And chances are I'm lying to cover up something bad that I've done. And when what I've done is found out, the consequences will be magnified because I told lies on top of it. Proverbs 19:5 says, a false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall not escape. That's what God said. If I'm telling a lie, I will not escape. We may think we will for a time, but we will not escape according to the word of God. Proverbs 19:9, a false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall perish. It's getting pretty serious, isn't it? They'll perish. A person's lies will catch up with them eventually, him or her. Tell the truth, it becomes part of your past. Tell a lie, it becomes part of your future. Here's another short illustration. In the publication Christian Reader, Clara Nall wrote a short story titled Flat Out Lying. On a beautiful fall day, four of my granddaughter's friends decided to go for a drive instead of showing up to class on time. When they did arrive, the girls explained to the teacher they had had a flat tire. The teacher accepted the excuse, much to the girls' relief. Since you missed this morning's quiz, you must take it now, she said. Please sit in the four corners seats in the room without talking. Each one in the corner. When they were seated, the teacher said, on your paper, write the answer to one question. Which tire was flat? Smart teacher. See, others are affected when you and I lie, even when we think it's just a little white lie. They're affected. If I steal from you, I can pay you back, can I? Can I, Rick? If I steal something from you, I can pay you back, right? You come say, I want that money back or whatever. You don't want it back? Good. See, if I lie about you, though, Rick, if I lie about you, whether it's giving a false testimony or gossiping or slander, I can't just take that back. You see the difference? I can't take it back. Damage, quite possibly permanent damage, has been done to Rick because of my lying about him and gossiping and slander of things that weren't true. If someone accuses another of a crime where there is none, their lies might find them out. But the false accusations have already caused their harm and can very well ruin the reputation of a person who has done nothing wrong. You don't need to raise your hands, but how many of you have been slandered and gossiped about in your life? Mm-hmm. I have. I know several of my family members that have untruths, and it hurts. God takes this very seriously. Deuteronomy chapter 19, 15, 21, please bear with me as I read this. One witness shall not rise up against a man for any iniquity, for any sin in any sin that he sinneth. At the mouth of two or at the mouth of three witnesses shall the matter be established. That was a good way to put it back then. If a false witness rise up against any man to testify against him that which is wrong, then both the men between whom the controversy is shall stand before the Lord, before the priest and the judges, which shall be in those days. And the judges shall make diligent inquisition, and behold, if the witness be a false witness and hath testified falsely against his brother, that's one witness. Then shall ye do unto him as he is thought to have done unto you, his brother, so shalt thou put the evil away from among you. And those which remain shall hear and fear and shall henceforth commit no more any such evil among you. And thine eye shall not pity, but life shall go for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. It's better to have two or three witnesses, I think, isn't it? Than one person against another. When we involve someone else in our lives, there is serious, sometimes irreversible damage done when we talk about someone else and lie about them. I'm getting close to the end here. I'm on page 6. I'm going to go to page 15. No, I'm just kidding you. I'm just kidding you. My notes aren't that long. Acts chapter 5, 1 through 11. But a certain man named Ananias. Now, you're probably all familiar with this, but it bears being repeated. But a certain man named Ananias and Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart? Did you hear that? Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Satan put in his heart to hold back. He wouldn't even had to. To see what Satan does? While it remained, was it not thine own? After it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And you say, well, it's the devil's fault. No, it's your fault. You opened your heart to receive the lie in there when you knew it was a lie, when you could have resisted it. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down, and he gave up the ghost, and great fear came on all them that heard these things. What if that went into effect this moment right now? Scared me. And the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out, and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in, and Peter answered unto her, tell me whether ye sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Why would you do that? Peter wanted to know. Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And young men came in and found her dead and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. I tell you what, that isn't just a story. That was an event. And if God, that's why we are to fear this God. See, we're in grace. We're in the age of grace. Just think if that happened, how many people in a church today, an average church today, would drop dead today? Great fear would come up on the church, I can grant you that. And when we're willing to lie, we need to realize what has happened to us spiritually. Did you know that? They may have dropped dead physically, but every time you and I practice lying, there's something that happens in us spiritually, and our spirit is dying. Being a liar is being someone who has allowed Satan into their heart to affect him in such a way as to go around telling a bold-faced lie. It makes sense for Peter to say this because Satan is the father of lies. And therefore, he is behind all lies. And this may seem like pretty severe consequence for telling a lie, but see, God knew that lying is a restless evil that festers and grows until it destroys. He knew it. And we blame God and say, what an evil God that he would allow somebody to die just because they told a lie. Can you imagine if lying was a purpose thing that everybody could do and there was no consequences to it, what this world would be? And it pretty much is getting that way right now. And we're seeing the results of it in politics alone. You can't trust anything in politics. Nothing. It's so fulfilled with corrupt lying that you can't trust anybody or anything saying anything. And that's sad. And that's the way God's world would be if he permitted sin and pornography and lying and all the other things to take over. You know something is what we need to do is hate it. Don't we? We need the help of the Lord to hate lying. Proverbs 13:5 says, a righteous man hateth lying, but a wicked man is loathsome and cometh to shame. You and I, if we are born again, blood-bought Christians, full of the Holy Ghost, we ought to hate lying. Every time we catch ourselves lying, we need to say, Lord, I hate that. Help me never to do it again. And believe me, you're going to have to say it again too. I know I will. I need God's help not to be a liar. False is used in a collective sense here. The question is to see lying as loathsome, meaning disgusting. Every time I tell a lie, I should see it as a disgusting thing because it does not glorify God, but the enemy. The question is, do we see lying as loathsome? Do we see it as pollution? We might, when it's done to us, but we typically sugarcoat it when we're the ones doing it. We can't do that if we're going to stop telling lies. We need to have God's attitude toward lying. Proverbs 12:22. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight. Do you want to delight the Lord? I've caught myself, especially being in sales. How many have ever been in sales? Yeah. You know, when you're in sales, it's really easy to exaggerate sometimes. Anyway, I'll say it is for me, okay? I'll be honest. Because you just start rattling things off. You get so oversold on a product or whatever. You want to make that sale so bad. You put in a little bit of extra sugar coating. And then when I walk, I say, Lord, forgive me for doing that. That wasn't true. The customer bought it, though. But it wasn't true. And I ask every time I go before people ask me, help me to just tell it straightforward. If it's not true, it's not true. If it doesn't do something, it doesn't do something. If it's not that great, it's not that great. God hates all forms of lying. He hates little white lies. He hates half-truths. He hates deception. The whole thing God hates of lying. And if we are too comfortable with lying, or if we are quick to justify and rationalize our lies, then we're not seeing them in the light that God does. If we are going to call them little white lies or fibs, then we aren't taking the sin of lying as seriously as we need to. Because I hear that all the time. I just told a little white lie. It was just a little fib. It didn't hurt anybody. But it does. It hurts you and I spiritually every single time we do it because our brain begins to accept it. And if we're going to overcome the sin of lying, we need to hate it like God hates it. And we need the help of the Holy Spirit. Psalms 101:7 says, he that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. That's pretty serious. Proverbs 19:5, a false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall not escape. Revelation 28, listen to this, people. Listen to this. But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. That's pretty serious. God didn't say, just you really habitual liars. He said, all liars. The little white lies, the little fibs, the untruths, half-truths. It's all lies to God. And God says the outcome for people who want to live that life is brimstone, the second death in hell. That's how serious it is. Revelation 22:15, for without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I imagine God doesn't like lies of the fact that I read you so many scriptures on lying and I didn't even read half of them yet. We need to practice honesty, don't we? We need the help of the Holy Spirit to help us to start turning our lives around if we do have that sense of needing to do exaggerations, half-truths. We need the help of the Holy Spirit. Say, Lord, help me not to do that. Help me to glorify you in my speech and everything I say to everyone. I got one more illustration, and then we want to prepare for communion right now, too. We have to believe and act accordingly to honesty, really being the best policy, even if that means losing something. But Pastor, if I tell the truth here, I might lose. You can fill in the blank. If I tell the truth, I'll lose. You can fill in the blank. Golfer Chesley Richard of Bloomington High School in Brandon, Florida, lost her chance to win the 2004 state championship. By being honest in the qualifier for the state finals, Chelsea hit her tee shot on the second hole into the rough. Without knowing it, she played another golfer's ball out of the rough and finished the hole. On the third hole, she realized that what she had done. The rule is that a golfer must declare the wrong ball penalty before putting on the hole where the infraction occurred or be disqualified. Chelsea reported her error, resulting in a painful ending her senior citizen and her dream of going to state. She later said, "With my faith and with God, being honest was the most important thing to me, and that's what is going to advance on throughout my life, being honest and making the right choices." She gave up her future career by telling the truth when she could have lied about it. But look, she has peace in her heart today. She has confidence in her walk with the Lord, and she glorified this mighty God. You know, I was in Wilmer, Minnesota this last week, and it can be the same scenario. I walked into this restaurant, Herbert and Gerbert. You ever hear that? Herbert and Gerbert. And the lady in there, I gave her a $10 bill to pay my bill. Now, I could have easily told her that if she would have contradicted it, said, I gave you a 20. But I gave her a 10, and you know what she did? She gave me back two $5 bills for change. I'm standing there, and I said, "I don't think you really wanted me to have these, right?" And then she said, "Oh, thank you so much. Here's your 20 cents. But you know something? I could have easily lied to her at that moment, and I could have walked out and had $10 and not paid a dime. Well, 20 cents I would have. But then she immediately said to me, she said, "I really appreciate you saying that to me," because she said, "I had a lady in here yesterday and she lied to me. I always put the money on the till here so I know what it is. And she told me that she gave me a $20 bill and I could see it was a 10 right here. But she screamed and she yelled in public trying to emphasize that she gave her a $20 bill in order," she said, "we finally gave her change just to get her out of there." That was an habitual liar. You see how important you and I are in this world to be salt and light in the dark world? And the darker it gets, how much we are going to shine more and more when we begin to represent our Lord and our Savior who died on a cross for us. People, do you see how wonderful it is to come and just glorify God in all that we do and all that we say? And just be honest, even if you lose something, you get in trouble, God wants us to just tell the truth. We learn from that, and He makes up and helps us through life. I want to encourage you, if you have that tendency to tell half-truths, to exaggerate, I want you to check your heart before we take communion this morning, because God told us to examine our hearts before we take it. Judge ourselves so that He doesn't have to do it, and say, "Lord, I have this weakness in my heart, and I've been lying, I've been exaggerating, I've been telling lies to people and not being truthful with them, and they don't know it yet, but maybe one day they're going to find out. But Lord, help me, forgive me for that. Forgive me of sinning and being a liar or whatever that sin might be. Lord, forgive me and cleanse me right now." And then you can go forward if you mean it in your heart, and you can take communion and share that. Because if you and I take it unworthily and we don't put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ only, if we don't do that, we will bring damnation onto ourselves and even die. That means sleep. We'll die an early death. And God is simply saying, examine your hearts before you partake. Get it under the blood of Jesus. And then with His help and the Holy Spirit, walk out that and say, "Lord, with your help after I leave here today, help me never to tell another lie. And if I do, let me run to you quickly and say, Father, forgive me." Are we all served yet, Brother Bob? Okay, just one sec. Okay. So examine your hearts. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you right now. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's take our symbol, the broken body of Jesus, hold it up and crush it before your fingers. The Bible says, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Let's all partake. If you need healing in your body, praise him and thank him for what he did and receive that healing and say, speak it to yourself right now and say that by Jesus' stripes, I am healed. The symbol of his precious blood. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." Let's all partake. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you. We praise you for what you did on Calvary's cross. Lord, all the benefits you've given us through the cross, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for dying for every sin I've ever committed, we've ever committed, our lying, our whatever that sin may be, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. You willingly gave yourself and hung on that cross and shed that precious blood. And you took the beating and the shame and everything else that goes along with the punishment for the sin. You took it upon yourself. And we thank you. We remember you, Lord. We remember you. We don't want to remember our good things. We want to remember you, Lord, what you did for us on the cross, that you brought salvation to us. That, Lord, you said that when we call upon the name of the Lord, that you will hear us. And Lord, you said that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if we believe in our hearts that Jesus came and was died on a cross and was buried and is coming back again, and Lord, that you would send your Holy Spirit to live within us. That you would save us and we become born again. Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for that. Let's all stand, please. I'm just going to have us all pray together before we dismiss. With your hands lifted up and just come before the Lord. For your word says, Lord, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You see every one of our hands. We're all in here sinners. Lord, we thank you. And Father, everybody just repeat this with me so I don't feel lonely up here. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. Lord, help me not to be a liar. Help me not to tell what we call fibs or little white lies or exaggerate. Help me to be a man or woman of God. Help me to glorify you in my speech. Help me to glorify you in what I say to others. And Lord, if I catch myself, let me have the strength to confess it. If I've lied to somebody, let me go and be willing to lose that friendship, to lose that whatever in my life, just to be honest and to get it under the blood of Jesus and then let you do a supernatural work in me. Lord, I pray that for each one of us today, Father. Touch every home. Help us to be men and women of God, Lord. And I just sense your power in this world. It's going to get greater and greater as the darkness is getting darker and darker. And you're soon return, Father. And help us to be men and women and people of God. Lord, that we be bright lights before Jesus comes back, that we may win some. And we thank you, Father. Bless every household. Touch them, Father. But most of all, let us be men and women of God. In Jesus' mighty name, and everybody said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Have a blessed day. tell somebody Jesus loves you. And that is not a lie.